this dusty lane. It all starts coming back again to me. The sweetness that is fresh cut hay, drying on a summer's day, takes me to a place I used to be. Cattle grazing open fields, October harvest sure to yield this year. The families who work this land, with tender faith and calloused hands, remind me why it's great to be from here. Over 30 million served, many more all around the world, by the folks who till the soil and plant the seed. Turning sunshine into grain, pulling calves in the driving rain. Here's to you, we're in your debt indeed. Here's to you, our farming families. The best advice I ever heard was in my father's parting words to me. He said, simpler ways to draw your pay than mending fence and stacking hay, but nothing that can set your soul so free. Over 30 million served, many more all around the world, by the folks who till the soil and plant the seed. Turning sunshine into grain, pulling calves in the driving rain. Here's to you, we're in your debt indeed. Here's to you, our farming families. From the heart of the country comes the soul of this great land. The rural roots that bind us sea to sea, sea to sea, where hard work makes it real, and a handshake is a deal. Here's to you, we're in your debt indeed. Here's to you, our farming family. Here's to you, here's to you, here's to you, here's to you.
Okay, folks, and welcome aboard. It's the Agriculture Show. It's a lovely Tuesday afternoon here, March 26th, and today's guest is John Tutt. And thanks so much for coming out today, John.
No problem. Good to be here.
It's really cool. We're going to do a little bit different show today. We're going to talk about movies and agriculture.
Huh. Well, there's a subject for you.
I know, and I'm glad you took up the challenge. We're going to talk a lot about the movies you're showing at your theater, and I want to tell our listeners a little bit about what you do for in real life, I guess we'll call it.
Well, yeah, I mean, in real life, I run Waterloo Region's one and only independent movie house. Mm-hmm. We have two locations in Uptown Waterloo. I guess our mission is to play the films the big theaters don't play. We've been around for about 28 years, and we show a mixture of documentaries, foreign language films, specialty films that have just come off festival releases. We show a large portion of Canadian content in our programming, period pieces, you name it.
I know.
We love it.
I've had a lot of fun down to Princess. There's all kinds of movies, and I'm so glad you were they were intrigued enough to talk a little bit about some agricultural. When does farming or agriculture show up in movies? And we'll explore that through some of the movies you got there.
Yeah.
Now, as we'll get into that. First thing I want to do is, as our listeners know, I just love to play the music that our guests like. So I'm going to even try the YouTube thing, but I do have a Harry Manx tune lined up. And at your choice, we can try one or the other.
We love Harry. Harry comes to the Princess every year and a half. He has for, I guess, the past 12 or 13 years. And so we love it when he's on stage playing. And
okay, we'll do that. This is his version of Thrill Is Gone, which is a great song. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And where did you first hear Harry Manx? I know he comes to like the blues festival usually.
Yeah, well, Harry came out of, he was a late bloomer, that's for sure. And Harry was a little bit of a background. He's got an interesting story. He used to be the sound man at Del Macombo in Toronto for years, and then he disappeared into India and learned the Mohan Veena from a master player there. I think he spent 4 or 5 years there learning some Eastern music. Came back, and then he blended it with his first love, and that's sort of Western blues, slide guitar. Mm-hmm. And I think his first album came out probably 11 or 12 years ago, and he started touring, and we took him up on it, and we haven't looked back. He's played the cinema now probably about 8 or 9 times,
yeah,
a lot. And,
so, do you do that regularly every month, or is it the 1 month particularly?
We do live shows generally in the winter, fall, spring season. We do about 8 or 9 concerts a year on stage. People like Fred Eaglesmith, David Francie. We used to do Willie P. Bennett, Harry Manx, Garnet Rogers, Matthew Barber, folk bluesy shows. We just did a show with Les Stroud, the Survivor Man from the television show, Survivor Man, and it was packed. It was standing room only for him. So that's our live show. We have fun doing that in addition to the movies.
All right.
Okay, so yeah, that's the type of shows we do.
And I thought something else, one thing that my friend tells me, late at night you can buy a cheese sandwich, apparently. We'll talk about that.
Oh, that's, yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's play Harry Manx first. And this is the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM, and we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Harry Manx.
Thank you, Ron.
For good. Oh, the thrill is gone, chap. Yeah, but the thrill is gone. Way now for good. Someday I'll be moving on. Yeah, like a new good man should. Oh, well, I'm free now, chap. Yeah, ain't I free? Your spell. Free now, chap. Yeah, ain't I free from your spell? And all I can do, yeah, girl, is to wish you well.
Come on, sir.
hatred's gone away. Oh, oh, thrill is gone, chap. Yeah, but the thrill is gone away. No, I done you wrong. I'm gonna be sorry someday. Thrill's gone away from me. The thrill is gone, chap. Yeah, but the thrill is gone away now from me. No, I still live on. Yeah, I have long, only ammo. Oh, oh, well, no, I still live on. How lonely I'm gonna be.
Thank you very much.
This is Mark Reeser. You are listening to CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Federation represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Mobilizing the youth of today, educating them in a better way, training so they won't go astray. Hear what me say, yeah. Give your head to clearer thinking, loyal heart, got to be persevering. To the Lord the service, make your hands willing, your health for better living.
4-H,
for community and country.
4-H,
respond to food security.
4-H,
I gotta make your best better. Get together.
Welcome aboard, folks. It's a lovely Tuesday. It's your host, Jeff Steger, and my co-host today is Barkley Knapp, as usual, and our guest is John Tutt. And I just asked John to come in today, and we're going to talk a little bit about agriculture, but in a different way. We're going to talk about how agriculture shows up in movies, and John operates a movie theater, and we're going to talk a little bit about what kind of movies, and especially the ones that I think we'll start off with, the one that's coming up.
Yeah, sure. Well, the one that's coming up in the end of April is a sort of co-presentation with a local resource group called Crew.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Gus Van Sant film, a Hollywood director, Good Will Hunting, and it also stars Matt Damon. So it's, for all intents and purposes, you could call it a Hollywood movie, but it's really flying under the radar.
Mm.
It's a movie that's essentially about fracking, and it's set in Pennsylvania, where there's a huge underground resource of natural gas,
mm-hmm.
basically underneath a whole bunch of rural farm fields. Matt Damon comes on to the movie as the salesman that's got to travel around, meet all the farmers and say, guess what? I can relieve you of the burden of being hard done by being a farmer,
mm-hmm.
if you sign on the dotted line and give us mineral rights under your land. And so he's the big smiley face, but he runs into all sorts of problems because there's people that take issue with what he's doing. You know, fracking, if anybody knows, is mm-hmm. the process of where they, you know, that you drill into the ground and you inject the ground with water, chemicals, and lots of pressure, and then you pull all that gunk out of the ground, and it sucks all sorts of natural gas up into pipelines. And
yes.
it's they're doing it all over. There's a huge field underneath Pennsylvania that stretches a little bit under Lake Erie and even a little bit into Ontario.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
And so that's, I think, you know, Matt Damon, you got to give him credit for tackling this subject. because it's not like, you know, let's go to the local multiplex and watch a movie about fracking. You know, it's a tough movie. It's well done, and kudos to them. And so we have a couple of shows, April 28th and April 30th at the Original Princess. Mm-hmm. And I urge anybody that's, you know, interested in farming issues to get out and see it. Probably in Ontario, fracking isn't an issue yet, and I think it's more an issue sort of on the in Alberta and BC, where mm-hmm. I know they're doing some fracking, but it may or may not come here. And Norfolk County's got a great history of lots of agriculture in Norfolk County, and that particular gas field extends under Lake Erie and takes in a little bit of Norfolk. Mm-hmm. So whether or not it gets into Ontario or not and becomes an issue, I don't know.
Well, in Ontario, you know, like where we are in the Waterloo region, you could say that gravel was the same thing. This is where farm operators, a company wishes to have that resource. It's owned by the farm owner, and he's faced, as you said in your first bit, the not always profitable year-to-year operation farm versus this, you know, here's the money and sign over your rights.
Right.
And that theme, boy, that theme is everywhere of, you know, we're talking about fracking or gravel pits, but sometimes rural life is portrayed as this, like, endless, in the movie, it seemed, you know, it's like the poor farmer, he's never making a living, it's a way of life.
Right.
And would you say that?
It's bucolic and it's, yeah. You know, it's beautiful. Yeah, I'm trying to think of, you mentioned some films earlier, like Witness.
Yeah.
That, you know, portray farming. I mean, you could even look at some of the, you know, animated things like Babe the Pig, you know, in a simplistic form where people are introduced to sort of what the notion of farming is. You know, you don't really see too many movies that show the business of farming,
right?
You know, and that sort of the ugliness of farming. Mm-hmm. You know, we see it as sort of this, you know, beautiful thing. But you know, you look back to even the whole issue at Walkerton, and that was a whole falling down of, you know, sort of an infrastructure issue more than a farming issue.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all sorts of things where farming can affect us all.
Mm-hmm. And people who are observing these rural issues do base part of their decision, their perception of the situation on what they think is out there already. And so you have the farmers out there poking away. And in Walkerton, it was, I think they ended up with, there was four different issues identified. And I just had some conversation last night, basically a once-in-a-lifetime rainstorm, a poorly located well. The cable brothers, who I think most people's attention came to.
Yeah.
And the fourth thing that, all four things had to happen.
Yeah.
And the fourth thing was the government of the day, in its haste to privatize the water services and testing, neglected to tell the new water testing lab that you got to phone the health ministry.
Ah.
And that delayed the whole, that allowed that infection to travel yet another 3 or 4 days before someone said, maybe we should phone up the health officer and tell him what's going on.
It was a combination of four issues.
Yeah. So, but the farmer in that situation, it's funny you mention it. Here's some good news that came of that. So now we had a show about this. It's an environmental farm plan. You as a farmer list how you do your things.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you're eligible for some help with doing those things. For instance, keeping livestock out of waterways. And protecting habitat.
Yeah.
So it was a rough way to do it, but agriculture showed up in that thing too. So
yeah, good.
You know, we should talk about it later on our show too. Is some of the, we talked about documentaries. We should talk a little bit about Food Inc. and that.
Yeah,
that whole, like, what do you call it? Documentaries. So no, depends what side you're on. That's one thing. They're mockumentaries, but
well, some of them they're sort of good news stories. Really, a lot of the documentaries. Some of them, I mean, you know, they're either doom and gloom documentaries or good news stories. And some of the documentaries that are good news stories talk about the local food movement, or they talk about, there was a documentary that was set in Detroit. It was called Rooted. Mm. And it was all about these huge, vast tracts of urban land in Detroit, which were literally put under the plow. I mean, and we're talking tractors with plows. We're mm-hmm. not talking a couple of acres, but we're talking, vast areas where houses have been torn down, schools have been closed, and the local citizenry were literally creating farms in the urban setting, learning how to farm and grow food.
Yeah.
Because the food distribution system in inner urban area of Detroit had broken down.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you lived in House A, well, House A was now 15 kilometers from the nearest Zaire's-like store, for example. Well, ridiculous. I mean, you think of where we are right now, Jeff, and we could probably walk within 10 minutes in any direction and get to a huge food store stocked full of food.
Mm-hmm.
So it's considered a food desert.
A food desert.
Yeah, food desert. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah. And so it was a fascinating story how people had just sort of taken charge.
Yeah.
And it was a well-done documentary. Food Inc. was another one. Maybe that was a half doom and gloom, but half positive story about local food movements, but also about how mechanized a lot of the huge industrialized operations were worldwide, you know, whether it's, you know, chickens or pig farming or anything like that.
Do you think there's a lot more interest in agriculture nowadays, and that's why the people are heading to movies for these topics?
Well, I think so. I mean, look, the Ontario government, the new premier just launched. She just launched some new issue right now where they're going to put a pilot project together to support. I mean, the private sector's all been sort of bubbling to the surface about this whole local food movement right now already, right? But finally, the government, I think, is stepping in, and they're trying to make it a little easier to work. You know, in other words, you know, why is it that it's, what's that expression? It's perpetually spring. You know, you go into a food store anywhere in the Waterloo region, and where did I hear the statistic was 80 or 90% of the food comes from really far away.
Yeah.
But you can go in there any time of the year, and it's always spring in the food stores, right? So the idea is to always have local, you know, or get as much local as we can. And whether it's through legislation or not, I don't know how far the provincial government can go.
Well, there was some new news in that. I tried to do a show about the Local Food Act proposed, and then the government was prorogued in Ontario. And I just saw something yesterday where, in fact, the new government has brought that act, and it's been passed. And it sets guidelines and the whole works, how much by certain years. And in line with our guest last week, Barclay, remember we talked about how much institutions like the University of Waterloo would use for the hospitals.
Right.
It's a long process, but they're making slow headway for local food. And that's a popular topic, I think part of it is when you show movies like that. What was the one from Detroit called again?
Was called Rooted.
Yeah. And how did you get wind of that movie? Was it?
A lot of those movies they're not picked up for distribution.
Yes.
So I'm a programmer, I'm an editor, so I program the movies that play at the Princess, and that process is I go to my regular distributors.
Yes.
I go to a cadre of community groups I work with quite often, or somebody will just email me, hey, have you heard about this film? I've just 5-10 minutes ago before I got here, I was talking to a midwife, and we're going to be doing a documentary in May on the birth of the midwife movement in the U.S. Okay. And we have quite a large midwife movement here in Waterloo region. So that's one of the reasons. That's one of the ways they you know, someone will just suggest a movie and it's not on my radar. I never heard about it, but it's one of the new ways where movies can be distributed. You create a movie, you get a really good website, you get some critics to see it, and you distribute it yourself.
Yeah.
So that's often how some of these. Fresh was another documentary that.
I remember that title. Yeah.
Yeah, a food documentary that came our way, and even any movie that has food in it. There was a sushi movie that we played about a micro-sized sushi restaurant in Japan, a father and son operation that had been going for years, and it was, you know, so people were very interested in that. That played for 6 or 7 nights with us. So I think anything with food and a story is mouth-watering to cinema audiences, right?
Well, it's always, you know, I always wonder how certain movies get out there. And I think our listeners do too. Is what is it about that movie that has become popular and local food, the safety of food, also the lifestyle as in the Promised Land is a movie that's coming up at your at the Princess Cinemas is about the lifestyle and a theme of, I guess, would we sum it up as natural resources that are bought out by a larger company because those operators don't make enough money to make the kind of return they can by selling out. Sort of tells you how valuable food is in this scheme of things, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Is the gas under the land more valuable than the, you know, what they can do on top?
Yeah. And in terms of the local economy, you know, that's one less farmer there, that's one less, and the community falls apart. So, I mean,
Yeah.
Field of Dreams. Everyone knows Field of Dreams. Any thoughts on Field of Dreams? What is that show about human nature and farming? And why would it be a farmer in the middle of Nebraska who would get this idea? What's the connection there if you were to get
that? Was such a heartfelt movie. Yeah. You know, it was a tear-jerking movie. It was a movie about dreams, and it was a really American movie about dreams. And I think, you know, the heartland, right? The heartland in the U.S., that huge swath of land between the two coasts is fodder for the American dream. I think that's really where it's about. And so setting that movie there and creating that movie of, you know, build it and they will come really struck a deep nerve in the U.S. with audiences.
Like it wouldn't be as well as the middle of like New Jersey or Florida or something. It wouldn't.
No, just the fact that it was way out in rural corn country.
Yeah,
I think it really was such a simplistic story. I think that's why, you know, setting it in farm country really worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. David Lynch, who is an odd director, strange director, Eraserhead, you know, Wild at Heart. He did a really unique film. You guys helped me with the title. Mm-hmm. But it was a guy that drove a tractor, a riding lawnmower tractor.
I remember that.
All across the U.S.
Yeah.
And he'd stop in and see little farmers and things like that. Again, right, depicting a real simplistic, bucolic look at farming, mm-hmm. at the farm life. But those are some of the images that come to mind in Hollywood films.
And that's what we're talking about. What is the image of
it? Yeah.
Now there's the image in the more modern films, and I know we just talked briefly, but things like Food Inc. and so on show farming. I just offhand say they don't really blame the farmer more that they say he's just responding to the pressures from the agribusiness or larger market forces than he is. They don't usually show the farmer as the bad guy.
I think increasingly there's another movie shortly coming out that we're looking at playing, and it depicts the real modern pressures that farmers have, especially, this is again a U.S. movie, about Monsanto and the seed issues that they're faced with. And so, and the business of doing farm, and the business of, you know, running a farm. If I was more prepared, Jeff, I'd have it on. I could Google it right now and get an answer for you. I know Zac Efron is in it, which tells you where the movie's coming from.
Yeah.
Heather.
Well, we'll have to do the show again. We'll have a whole bunch of good.
Yeah, that's going to be coming. That's going to be coming shortly. So there are modern movies that do take the serious look at the pressures of farmers. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite thing about movies and documentaries is a documentary that portrays what's happening good in food production, whether it's a 100-mile diet or sourcing local foods or local food initiatives and how they're really working. That's what I like to see on the radar when we're programming movies, because that's what people can touch that in this community. They can feel it. We've got a really strong markets, the Waterloo region market, and so people are aware of those issues and they want to buy local.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to people here. So those are the movies that are on my radar that I want to tap into.
So how far ahead do you have to plan this? I know I get the lovely princess. Catalog, or what do you call it, your magazine?
The film guide. Yeah,
it's like 2 months ahead, but you're probably planning way ahead.
We're starting to plan right now our May June program.
Okay,
and which contains some pretty interesting things. If we could talk a little bit about it, we have our annual Canada Film Days Festival takes place May 2nd to the 9th, and we look at recent and up and coming Canadian feature films from across the country. We have about 9 or 10 features. We have about 6 directors coming in. And that's something that we're building up to be a real, we're really excited about that because it's Canadian cinema. And it's good. I mean, I don't program these in just because they're Canadian. They're good cinema. It's good cinema. It's great to see a great film from Winnipeg or one from rural Quebec, one from downtown Toronto, one from downtown Vancouver. You know, there's one of them called Hit and Strum. And some of them are even locally produced, guys that have been film producers and gone on and are coming back into town to present their films. So that's something that's coming up we're excited about. And we look over all sorts of titles when we're booking films, whether or not there's an audience for it. And so we don't, we take care at booking it. You know, it's like curating, self-choosing, you know, what we play. Somebody just doesn't come to us and say, hey, you know, this is what you have to play.
You know what? You guys are the local food movement of the movie industry.
you could, somebody, I tried to describe
like we're
it.
We're lucky.
It's
know?
Boutique movie going, yeah. You know, and it is. It's locally chosen. And yeah. That's what.
We live in the best part of the world by far, I think. We're lucky.
I think people are, you know, I'd be, you know, pulling on my suspenders by saying it, but I think we're lucky too to have the Princess Cinemas here for sure. There's no doubt.
Well, you
I mean,
do that.
Yeah.
Let's play another song here. We'll come back and talk some more. I think I can get this to run. It's a Willie P. Bennett, and it's his song Caney Fork River. So we can talk a little bit before that and afterwards, but tell us about how you came out listening to Willie P. Bennett and this particular song.
Willie P. Bennett was one of the, we do live concerts at the Princess, and back in 86, the very first artist that we had on our stage at the Princess was Willie P. Bennett.
Okay.
And so that's why he's important.
All right, let's play this song. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Cole Show on 100.3 Sound FM. It's your host, Jeff Stigler, with my co-host, Barkley Knapp, and my guest today is John Tutt. We'll be right back.
On the Caney Fork River, heard her dad had rather shoot her than ever forgive her for falling for one of a McCallum clan. But what do you expect? He's a feudin' man. Every day before breakfast, her mama said, daughter, it's time you got a bucket and went to fetch water. She skipped down the path to a cool dark eddy that fed into the Caney Fork River. The Caney Fork River, the Caney Fork River, like water everywhere, it's a taker and a giver. She touched it to her body, she touched it to her lips, so I wish I was the Caney Fork River. Well, there's no sense thinking that you won't get caught, cause your lucky streak's been a running hot. Now I couldn't swim, but I started across, hanging on to the branches of a hollow log. Well, the log hit a rock, I sunk to the bottom and my body washed away the last off. My spirit still lingers in the cool dark water that washes the skin of Ferguson's daughter. The Caney Fork River, the Caney Fork River, like water everywhere, it's a taker and a giver. She touched it to her body, she touched it to her lips, so I wish I was the Caney Fork River. The Caney Fork River, the Caney Fork River, like water everywhere, it's a taker and a giver. She touched it to her body, she touched it to her lips, so I wish I was the Caney Fork River.
This is, or I am, John Tutt from the Princess Cinemas in Uptown Waterloo, and you are listening to The Agricultural Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Thank you. That's our little bit, basically what we're trying to do in our show here, and today we're looking at another different facet of that, and that is through the lens of the cameraman and our movies and the farmers and movies and agriculture and such things. Tell us a little about yourself first, John, too. Oh, tell us about that song first. Willie P. Bennett, he's been at the Princess Cinema.
Caney Fork River, yeah.
Yeah. That's how you came to know him as an artist. Have you had him back?
Had him back for years. It's unfortunately passed away about 5 years ago, a week before a sold-out show at our place.
Yeah.
And we had pre-sold about 180 tickets, and a heart attack claimed him February 15th before the show, and it was really great because all these musicians came together. We had all these tickets pre-sold, and we had a concert in tribute to him only a week after he had died. Stephen Fearing was there. Sneezy Waters came down.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Tamblyn came down from Ottawa. There was people from the Dixie Flyers that were on stage. It was a real, it was three sets of musicians that played that night, and it was all recorded, and what a memorable night that was. And Willie took on sort of a second career later in his life and toured with Fred Eaglesmith as his mandolin player.
Okay.
And worked his buns off with that guy touring and touring and touring. So he's one of those artists that you don't hear about too much anymore, but boy, was he, you know, Cor Blund, you know, has got a couple of tribute songs to him. And so a lot of musicians still think of him a lot, you know, and he really took on younger artists and mentored them in his later years. So hats off to Willie P. Bennett, wherever you are.
Just for Chris, did you use the old cinema or the new one for this?
The new one. We do our live shows at the old cinema. We do the live shows. Yeah, at the original Princess. There's a beautiful stage there, and we've got some improved lighting up there, so concerts work really nice there.
Yeah, well, that's good. I haven't been up for one of those shows yet, but I was just I forget what movie I just saw just a little while ago. It was that retirement home with the retired opera singers.
And Quartet.
Quartet, yeah.
You go to see Quartet?
I did.
Yeah. Charming.
It was.
Charming, yeah. Dustin Hoffman directed that.
Yeah, McConnelly was his name. He's the...
The Scottish comedian. Yeah, yeah, Connolly. Billy Connolly.
Yeah.
I never knew he was that old. I think he's 69 or something, but he had the juiciest lines in that film.
Well, that was great.
His delivery was fantastic.
I think he should do a farm movie. That'd be really funny. It might be kind of rude, too.
Well, he did. You know, he did. Remember he did that film where he was the guy that looked after Queen Victoria's horses?
No.
Yes.
I missed this?
Yeah, Billy Connolly played. It was called...
That would be funny. Oh, my.
Think of it, but it period piece,
yeah.
Right? I mean, and that was, he was the soft-spoken gentleman that looked after Queen Victoria's horses. Very much kind of a farm movie.
Yeah.
Really.
See, we could have so many topics. I don't know where we'd start. We'd have to come back and talk some more farm movies then.
Yeah.
So tell us, our listeners, how you came about to be here on a Tuesday afternoon, and are you a local guy? Where's your home? Tell us your story.
Well, I grew up in Brantford, Ontario, south of here. And like all my contemporaries back in the mid to late 70s, we thought of nothing else but to get the heck out of Brantford. when you speak of farm communities, you know, the White Farm Equipment and Massey Ferguson had huge plants in Brantford in the 60s and 70s, and they made combines, and they employed thousands.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I'd get my summer part-time job.
Yeah.
You know, I put the muffler on the combine at White Farm Equipment for... in the summer once, right? And that was my job. And so, but when that industry completely flattened out and pulled out of town,
it was tough times.
A very hard on the community because there was a ripple effect of other industries that supplied and those huge companies. So anyways, we all got out of town. I came a little bit north to Waterloo, went to school at Laurier for 4 years and, graduated, did a little stint at a BIA in Brantford for about 6 months, and then came back here and opened the original Princess in 85 when I was, you know, 24 or something like that. So, I've been doing that for about 28 years. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot at Laurier in terms of business and, you know, how to start a business or how to operate a business. But I took a lot of film courses. And my best friend at university was Wilfrid Laurier, their first film major student. And we hung out. We'd go to screenings all over Waterloo region. There was no one place that had unique screenings.
Yeah, how did you do that?
But there was the Humanities Theater at UFW.
Right.
There was a large screening room at Laurier 1E1.
Yeah.
Kitchener Art Gallery did screenings. There were screenings over at one of the church colleges of foreign language films. And once you're bitten, I'll tell you this, Jeff, once you're bitten and you're young, you're 18, 19, 20, 21, you see a foreign language film or you see that different type of film that you're not used to and you're growing up, you'll always sort of look for that different type of film. And for me, it was like the Fassbinders and the French films, the French New Wave films that really I got bitten by that.
Yeah.
And so I just mixed a little bit of what I knew, and I knew there wasn't a theater in this area, with a little bit of my business background. I thought, what the heck? This looks like something to do that will be fun and might give me a job. It did. So that's sort of was the birth of the princess, really. Mm-hmm. Finding the right spot. I almost carved out a spot in downtown Kitchener, but it was on the third floor of an old building downtown, and it almost worked, but fire marshal said, no, third floor, you're not putting a cinema on a third floor of this place. So I managed to find someplace in Waterloo, and mm-hmm. you know, the rest was history from there.
Yeah.
You know?
28 years, this goes by so fast, eh?
It does. It's still going by fast.
Well, I think you do an important thing in our community, and I think all those indie-type theaters, like Barclay mentioned in the one in the bookshelf in Guelph, is there an association of...
Ad hoc, you know, loose ad hoc. Yes. There's a friend in Ottawa that runs the Bytown Cinema. Mm-hmm. Peter, that's involved with the bookshelf in Guelph. There's a small one in Allura. In fact, that was a rep cinema just before we were a rep cinema. Mm-hmm. There's a small one now in London. There's a twin cinema in Kingston. A couple of guys I know that have single screens in Toronto. And we all sort of, you know, share information back and forth.
Yeah.
It's not really organized officially, but we all support each other. You know, in an industry, really, that is 95% of the box office goes to a monopoly in Canada. Cineplex Odeon basically has a monopoly over movie going. There's a smaller chain called Empire, but they're so small that they might as well, they're a little bit in Eastern Canada, a little bit in Ontario, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
The people who own Sobeys have a chain of cinemas called the Empire Theaters. And
is that the one that's in town? There's Empire.
Yeah, Empire, yeah. They're owned by the Sobeys that own the food stores. But essentially, Canada is run by Cineplex Odeon.
Mm-hmm.
So being an independent isn't unlike being a farmer. And in fact, it's funny when...
you're the local food movement of the movie
Yeah,
of
there
the,
was a guy...
Because
what you do... I was just interviewing one of our managers, looking to hire a new manager over there right now, and it's all about, you know, maintaining the equipment, keeping it clean, you know, and it's not unlike a farmer's job, I would imagine, where there is a time for harvest.
Yeah.
And maybe that would be when all the big crowds are coming through the theater. But then there's a time also for fixing seats, making sure your air conditioning's working, making sure everything that's, you know, it's painted and it's cleaned and all the little things that go on during the day, maintaining the facility, right? So there's that type of thing, too.
Yeah, I don't want to forget what I think of it. So you recently added a restaurant. Well, about recently, of course, like that time. A restaurant about 2 or 3 years now?
That was, when we opened the Twin in 2005, 2005, my wife opened the Princess Cafe, and we have recently, as of a couple of years ago, we sold it to our manager. So it's still very much entwined in how we do it and how we run our business. And Mark is great. And we do dinner and a movie tickets through that. So people can come to the cafe and buy a dinner and a movie pass and see a movie at either Princess. So the Princess Cafe is, really integral to how the Twin and the original Princess operates. Mm-hmm. A lot of people take advantage of that.
You know, I hope you can find a movie that reflects your... just reflecting on your story about as you grew up in Brantford putting together combines. There's got to be a movie out there that explores a person's who were involved in agriculture in some way in a small town. Like, you make a good movie. If you could find someone who came from a rural community and worked at those appropriate industries, like Brantford was, and then moved on to something else, and what they learned from that, good or bad, from working in a rural community on farm equipment, in your case.
It sounds like a Stompin' Tom song.
Yeah.
Or Johnny Cash.
That's a whole new show. I want to do one about agriculture and songs, which there's lots of.
Oh, for sure. In the Canadian context, there's,
I'm just delighted to do a show about this, about movies, like, and so on and so forth. Hopefully we'll see some more of those types of movies on your... agriculture movies on the marquee and in the...
I think definitely there's some things bubbling that will come up in our program for sure.
Oh, no doubt. There's always something like that. Let's play another song here. Then we'll come back and talk about cheese sandwiches. What are they there?
Cheese's Murphy.
Cheese's Murphy, is that what they're called? Okay. Yeah. We'll play one more here. This is another Harry Manx song, and this one is called Help Me by Harry Manx. We'll listen to that one. And we'll be back and talk some more about cheese sandwiches and the Princess Cinema.
Right on.
We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta help me now, baby. I can't make it by myself. You gotta help me now, darling. Well, I can't make it by myself. If you don't help me, little baby, I'm gonna have to find somebody else. Yes. I might have to cook, I might have to sew, I might have to clean, Lord, Lord, I'm gonna mop the floor. But you gotta help me, little darling, well, I can't make it by myself. You don't help me, little baby, I'm gonna have to find somebody else. You walk with me. When I talk, you talk to me. Oh, baby, I can't make it by myself. If you don't help me, little darling, well, I'm gonna have to find somebody else. Feel like lying down. Oh, you better help me, little darling, 'cause I can't make it by myself.
Hi, this is Stephanie Friedis from the Volunteer Committee on the International Plowing Match. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
Folks, we're back, and boy, it has flown by. We're almost an hour into the show, gentlemen. We've just covered a lot of stuff there, but we want to forget all the fun stuff we want to talk about here yet. What have you guys been hatching up back there, carrying on?
Well, we're just looking up. You ever get anyone calling in on your show, Jeff?
Colin, we can do it.
Maybe they're better searchers than we can. We're just looking up an upcoming Zac Efron film that deals with farming issues.
What'd you find?
Well, we're looking now. We haven't found it exactly, but different choices
here. This is the one you're hoping to get to the studio,
yeah.
Or to the show?
Yeah. That's okay. The one where saw it at I go to the Toronto Film Fest every year.
Yeah.
And spend about 9 days watching about 50-plus movies in theaters.
Yeah.
You know, 4 movies a day type of thing.
That's awesome.
That's one that, that's one that I did see. But we're just sort of trying to get to the bottom of, when it's coming up. We'll have a second.
Barclay, yeah. Can poke around.
Yeah, he can poke around, yeah.
And you can, I just, we're in probably our last segment here of the show. We're already an hour into it. We can stay a bit longer if you're up to it, depends. But let's do this last segment here
and
see how we're doing. And I don't want to forget about talking about the cheesy sandwich. I got it wrong.
The cheese's Murphy is sort of this, it's a late night. I can only speak sort of secondhand for Mark that runs the Princess Cafe.
Okay.
But I know on Friday and Saturday nights,
yes,
from midnight till 4 a.m., he operates a food window.
Those are university student hours.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, out of the lobby of the Princess Twin Cinema. And he sells gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get a pop and a grilled cheese sandwich. Pretty pretty incredible. And so he sells to the late night university crowd. And the most amazing thing I see is when I leave work around, you know, maybe 7 o'clock on Friday, is the back end of the cafe. He's got this mound of cheese that he's grated. That's, you know, about a foot and a half high, and he's got all these loaves of Wonder Bread, because I guess white Wonder Bread makes the best grilled sandwiches, just because it's so consistent and uniform.
Yes.
So he'll sell hundreds a night. It's a phenomenon. He started it about a year and a half ago, and you got to see it to believe it. I didn't believe it. And he just sells it right where we sell our movie tickets, in the lobby of the Princess Twin. And that's where he sets it up, and it just rocks. And he doesn't advertise it. It's all sort of the Twitter and Facebook.
How did he ever get the original idea? It's just funny as heck. It just sounds like fun.
You got me. I mean, the whole food world, since I've been uptown for about 28 years, the whole when we were opened in 85, there was one cafe that had an espresso machine. And it was a little cafe in behind the Waterloo Hotel called Pogo's. Mm-hmm. Two women ran it for about a year, and then it didn't work, and they had to sell it. You can't probably go in a restaurant now in uptown that doesn't have an espresso machine. Mm-hmm. So the tastes of food offerings have exploded, and there's going to be there's even some more restaurants coming. I know there's one coming called Taco Farm, and it's going to open in uptown shortly, just around the corner from us. And I don't know if they'll I think they are going to have a local food component to their offerings.
It seems like a lot of people are attempting to do that now, best they can. I mean, we have a good infrastructure set up for that as well as we'd like yet. And
I know, we serve apple cider at all three of our cinemas, or at both our snack bars. Hot apple cider during the winter season, we get it at Martin's. Perfect. Once a week, we go and we buy 10 jugs of cider, and we bring it back, spice it, put it in crocks, and it sells like hotcakes.
Yeah, that's good. I've had one of those. That's very nice.
Yeah. And that's probably, in terms of cinema, that's as local as we get in terms of, we have investigated getting popcorn. There's a supplier of popcorn down in Norfolk County, organic popcorn. Mm-hmm. And we've investigated it. We haven't solidified a deal yet with them, but there are resources locally, and that's close enough. Where we could actually get local popcorn to sell, right?
That'd be pretty novel. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
actually.
It would be, yeah. And I'm pretty sure their product's, you know, not bad.
Yeah.
But, that's the background of Jesus Murphy.
So what the, great name. What do you think will be coming up in the next year, any time frame you want, that's of interest to the public about agriculture? Do you think there'll be more of the Food Inc. type movies, or do you think there'll be more about the lifestyle? Boy, this is really crystal ball gazing, but people are interested in local food. People have been interested in how food is produced. I'm sure there'll be more of that same kind of movie come out.
What
hasn't been covered yet?
The Hot Dogs Festival is just about to launch in Toronto on April 25th, and it goes for a week and a half. And Dollars to Donuts, if you check their schedule of films, there will be films on agriculture, or there will be films on bee colony collapses.
Right.
Or, we showed a documentary about a month ago called The Fruit Hunters, and it was all about people that were intensely interested in fresh fruit and where it comes from and is it natural. And one of the funniest things that came out of that documentary was it showed people had located within their own neighborhood, I think it was in San Francisco, but we could do it here too, is trees in their urban environment that produce nuts and fruit. Yeah. They might be ornamental trees on a boulevard or something like that. And they'd located about a half a dozen lemon trees in San Francisco that were never really harvested, and they began harvesting them. Fresh fruit, local. I mean, you can't get more local than that, right? And it was called The Fruit Hunters. Fascinating glimpse at the fruit world and how fruit is. It's like I said earlier, it's springtime every day in the local food stores. That expression came from that movie. So we'll probably see more and more of those type of documentaries. On the feature side of things, there is a new film. We got the title of it. It's called At Any Price. And it's about the squabbles and the business pressures that now farmers, because I think farmers have had to upscale their size. Mm-hmm. And you can see how, you know, the 100-acre plot that the standard farm size in Ontario is, am I wrong, is 100 or 200 acres?
That's for planning purposes, but that's a big debate now. What is a viable farm size?
Right. What is but it's bigger.
But to just add your story, at one time, in fact, a 100-acre farm provided enough income for a man and his wife and family to have a good life and have a variety of products in their farm. But that model's not true.
Not viable, or it's changed?
It's not viable because economics of scale, basically.
Yeah.
You have to produce more per farm unit.
Yeah.
So
there's lots of business pressures to make it work, right? And,
yes.
And one of the business pressures in the U.S. too, and probably in Canada, is the whole Monsanto and the seed, getting the seed. What do they call it?
It's patented seed.
Patented seed.
And I think there's some controversy about the fact that those seeds would be sterile.
Right. And so this new movie coming up, it's called At Any Price.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, let's say you and I are down the road. We have our own farms.
Yep.
And I happen to be the local salesman that sells the seed, right? And you fall on a little bit hard times, and you start saving your seed,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, you're in trouble, because by buying seed from me that's patented and everything like that, you're not supposed to do that. The next year comes around, you buy the newly minted seed that's now more virulent, and it can... pests won't affect it, et cetera, et cetera. Every year. So this movie, At Any Price, is about the drama that erupts between farmers that go against each other in that world.
Well, that's the miserable part about it. They can pit neighbor against neighbor, and they're supposed to work together, but
that's right.
It's the worst. Yeah.
So that's, yeah, it's not so great. Mm-hmm. At Any Price, and who is in that? Dennis Quaid is in that, Zac Efron, Heather Graham. We'll probably see that come our way sometime in the spring.
Yeah.
So that'll be similar to A Promised Land. It's depicting modern era problems in the big farm,
mm-hmm.
big farming community.
Yeah, then, this being in the industry, this is sponsored by the Federation of Agriculture, we're aware of that those impressions are, there's valid points in it, but there's also impressions are left, and there's the other side of the argument, too. And so it's just hard to get all that stuff out there. But in a perverse way, it's good, because when these movies come up and suggest these things, we have a chance to talk from agriculture. What is actually going on? I mean, that's subjective, but you get it. There's another side to the story. If these issues hadn't come along, who would care about farming?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You got to have this like negative stuff to even get the attention in the first place. You know,
that's true.
You know what I mean? It's weird, but you're fighting a rear guard action, knee jerk after the fact, after the industry has been accused of various things.
Yeah, that tends to be the nature with movies, I guess.
Yeah.
And
that's your point, right? Just to bring issues up and let the regular process continue. Yeah,
I get that. They're issues. Yeah, they're basically a lot of documentaries or some of these films are issue-driven themes, and that's it's not like it's everything's going well on the farm, so let's make a happy story. You know, it's always a story about bee colony collapsing,
right.
Or. Water, being polluted, or things like that. That's mm-hmm. often the case, and so, but at least issues like that are coming to the fore,
exactly.
And people are dealing with them.
And good news. Yeah,
yeah, and they're not sweeping it under the rug, or mm-hmm. and so modern technology has just been amazing in terms of getting the ability to the internet and everything like that, getting issues out there for people to understand and think twice about. Where their food comes from, and is it a good thing that we have? Somebody told me that the market in St. Jacob's,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if it's true or not, there was fruit from China.
Yeah.
Is that true? Is it?
Often people, well, some of the vendors, they're not all of them, but there's a few vendors that they'll go to the Toronto Food Terminal, pick up fruit or vegetables that's been trucked in or flown in or floated in, and bring it to the market and sell it there.
Yeah. That should be big news.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, really.
Well, it does add to, as long as people are aware of it and ask for labeling and so on, then people can make a choice. I mean, there are people out there who think that's just fine. I'll buy Chinese food there, but it does clash with certain.
I think I bet you if you surveyed them, though, Jeff, most people would take the local.
Yeah.
Dollars to donuts, I don't know.
If you knew some of the agricultural practices that supposedly go on in China, you'd be very careful what you ate.
Hmm. Yeah.
Fortunately, there's no documentary going to be done about that anytime soon.
No.
Well, not yet. I know John's looking for one, even as we speak. He's taking a mental note.
Yeah.
I'm going to look for a movie about agriculture imports from the third world or something.
For sure.
It'd be a great topic. So that's good. Well, gentlemen, we've covered a lot of stuff here. Shall we play another song and do a little wrap-up, or are you all done for the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, another song? Yeah, we're good.
Sure, another song?
Yeah, sure. With the other song, then we'll just say a goodbye. We can go a little bit longer here, and it'll fit on my podcast, so let's do that.
Got any Fred Eagle Smith?
No, I could have done that. All I've got is, I could do that if I could.
He was a farmer.
Was he?
Fred Eagle Smith, he was, until he became a hard-working traveling musician. But he had a farm, and he grew up on a farm, 9 kids, I think, just outside Alberton in Hamilton.
Okay, through the magic of YouTube, and I've got Time to Get a Gun, Freight Train, Wild in Her, Alcohol and Pills, I Like Trains, I Shot Your Dog, 49 Tons, Water in the Fuel, Carmelita, 49
Time,
Tons.
Carmelita? Is a song about agriculture workers that come into Norfolk County, and that's a good one.
Okay, we'll play that,
yeah.
And we'll come back and do a quick outro, and we'll do that shortly. And here we listen now to Carmelita by Fred Eagle Smith, and my guest has been John Tutt and co-host Barkley Knapp. We'll be right back.
Canadian Club on the Rocks. Tell them how much they love. They're calling. Southern Ontario, where I come from, the roads are long, flat, and straight. Walk down along the railroad track, I ran into my old friend Jack. He was dressed in a Sunday best, but his face was red as azure dead. Marina, and the last place that I seen her, she was making off with my best friend.
Well, we'll just go back to that song in a bit here. Just going to do a little sign out for the day and just want to thank John. Thanks, John, for coming out today. That's just been a real blast.
Great. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
We'll come and do some more of these sorts of things. You got some more agriculture movies, your new theme. We'll come and
we'll come back and talk about them for sure. Thanks.
That'd be great. And, Barkley, thanks for coming out today. I know we didn't. I'm always glad you're here to talk a little bit about farming. What's new with you in a short and a nutshell? You're looking forward to spring. You're planting your garden soon.
Well, we're supposed to be getting a wet spring. That's what some people have been saying, but there's still a lot of frozen moisture on the ground right now. That's going to take a while to thaw out. Right now, I'm looking at supplies for a low hoop house.
Okay.
Build it myself or get it from a different supplier and set it up kind of out of the box.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to do an ongoing discussion with Barkley as long as he can keep coming out to our age show. We'll see what's happening on the farm. Well, that's a good story. I mean, everybody's got the farm thing going on. We'll see what a typical grower does in Ontario. So, okay, folks, that's our show today. Thanks for listening in. And it's the Agriculture Show. It's episode 45. This is March the 26th, 2013. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
In the morning when we wake up, we'll lay down.